I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Pasha.
Hi,
everyone. I have a little story to tell you so I can, like, get rid of the jitters because I'm frightened to death. After I finished that wonderful Italian extravaganza, it was the best food I've had in a long time here. Yeah, yeah. I was impressed. I went to the bathroom. Oh, to pray. And while I'm in the bathroom, I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to look out, I'm going to see all these faces, and I'm going to get scared, and my mouth's going to go dry, and it's going to feel like I've been chewing cotton, and, oh, God, what am I going to do to relax? While I'm sitting there trying to fix my splint, someone else comes in. I pull my skirt down real fast, and she says, oh, excuse me, and then she's real nervous, and she's washing her hands, and she says, oh, do you got any ideas about, when you're up in front of a crowd and what to do to make yourself calm? And I said, what? She looks at me, I look at her, and we're both waiting. My lover starts to laugh her ass off. She knows what's going on. I'm dumb. I don't know what's going on. It was PJ. The both of us were sitting there looking at each other. And Penny, my lover, knew what she was saying. I didn't know what she was saying. I was looking for a suggestion. So was PJ. And that's how my life went. I picked up where Armand left off. I finally scrubbed my skin clean. I'm not quite as well a queen as you, but I can fake it. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My father died when I was 17. He only drank beer, though. Yeah. He did get a year in this program, and I carry his medallion in my big book. Oh, not this big book, the one at home. This is the one I travel with. I'm also a proud mother. I'm also, as a result of the 12 steps of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a nurse. I'm a proud lesbian. And we're co-parents to two wonderful boys, 5 and 8 years old. Well, my job's done. I'll see you later. It's because I have a God that I was able to tap into through you all. I'm living in a dream. Don't ever lose hold of those dreams that you had when you were a small child, because they do come true. I remember in the depths of hiding from my father, because he used to, well, he used to do things to me in my sleep. And during the day, I would be scared, so I would go in the closet, oh, the other closet, and I'd hide, and I'd rock back and forth, and I'd say, if only I could get to Vermont, everything would be okay, because I knew God was there. I didn't know that God was with me, that God's always been with me, that God is the great spirit within me, the light that shines that you see in my eyes, the light that shines that I see in your eyes, that's God. I live in Vermont today. I was 9 years sober when I finally moved there. My mother is the one who, I could say, 12-stepped me into Al-Anon. Oh, this isn't an Al-Anon meeting, is it? That finally got me to AA. I don't have a long drinking history. I have a long hell history. And nothing unlike any of what you've all gone through. The difference is that it's my history. That's all. But the feelings are the same. I lived in a prison within my own mind, and I didn't have the key to get out. And I begged somebody to get the key. I read all kinds of books, and I searched all kinds of places, but I didn't know where the key was. I didn't know how to get out. My mother told me to go to Al-Anon because my father was an alcoholic. And it took me 6 months, but I finally, after 6 months one-on-one Al-Anon counseling, I went to my first meeting. When I was 7 months sober in AA, I remembered my first AA meeting. I had a few sits in institutions, and in one of those sits I attended an AA meeting because I wanted to understand my father's alcoholism. I was the perfect social drinker for many years. I would drink 1.5 drinks because my father always had only a couple beers and he was passed out on the living room floor or the kitchen floor or the bathroom floor or wherever, but he only had two. A couple means two, right? And so I would only drink a drink and a half. It wasn't until I introduced myself or I was introduced or somebody introduced me to drugs that I lost my capacity and my ability to hold out from controlling my drinking. And inside of 1.5 years, I was unable to be a person. I had given my life over to whoever would take it, responsibility for it, and when I came into the rooms of AA, I had one God in my life. He was shorter than I was, and he told me what to wear. He was my landlord. He was my boss. He was the co-signer to my car, and he gave me drugs. And I just gave him my soul. Sobriety hasn't been a wonderful, painless journey. But it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. What I say here is my opinion and my experience and my strength and my hope. And if you don't find what I say in the first 164 pages of the Big Book, forget about it. Because it's my life. How I learned to heal myself in this program through what you told me was by reading this book, the textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is undoubtedly, outside of the Bible, the only other text in the world unchanged in history. That's a fact. This tells me everything I need to know about daily living. And when I forget that there are God out there for me, it's here for me. So when I'm nervous or when I'm scared or I'm insecure and I don't know that I can take you with me, I take my book. Because it reminds me of where I am and who I am and where I'm going. And where I've been, and I don't ever have to go back there again. The amount of lessons that I've learned in sobriety, there's a list. The greatest gift that I have today is me. But I wouldn't have never had that had I not had you. And for that, I'm responsible to be here. So that I can become a you for the next me that comes through the doors. Today, I have a life. As a result of being sober, I am a nurse. They actually gave me the keys to the narc box. I was 3 years sober, and I was pregnant, and the relationship that I had been in, I tried it again, and we decided to part. Because the responsibility of a child was just too much. And so she went her way and I went mine. And instead of making a career for myself, I decided to have a child. And I didn't know it then, but I know it now only in reflection and looking back. Hindsight is a wonderful gift. I realized that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. That God was giving me the ample opportunity to surrender, to be teachable, to learn, and to be a mother. I have this wonderful child, Ian, and he's not with me here, but he's been here several times over, and several people know him here. And he misses you all, and he says hello. He's 8 now. It's been 8 glorious years, 8 frightful years. The kid's an alcoholic. It's in the genes. God has given me a mirror to look at on a daily basis in my own child. It's through his behavior that I can reflect and see what I need to change in my own. That lovely little pointer, that lovely little finger, when I start doing that, I know that I need to take a look at myself. There's been great times and great laughs and great growths and great pains. What happened was I wanted something more out of life, but I wasn't willing to do the work. And when I came here, you told me that you weren't going to hand it to me on a platter like I wanted it. You see, I gave myself away to whoever would have me, and now I didn't have anything. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. And what I wanted to find out was if I was somebody. I felt like this shell that was walking around without anything inside. And I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to be an adult because I had an adult's body. And I wasn't that person. This is scary. God, this is really bad. You see, I came here because I wanted to share the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is that I'm sober. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, and why wouldn't I want to talk to you about it? But then I look out to you, and I know the expectations, because I know why I come to Roundup. I come to Roundup to get that spiritual shot in the arm. I come to Roundup to hear those words that God's trying to say to me that I can't hear anywhere else. I come to Roundup to have the love that I feel in the rooms. I come to Roundups to know that the 12 steps really work in other people's lives and they'll work in mine too. And now I'm the one up here trying to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. It's a very frightening feeling. It really is. And I had somebody say that it's really okay to be frightened. And it's really okay to share. I wanted to be this person with great words of wisdom. And all I have to share with you is what I did. And what I did was the steps. They tell me when I got here that I needed to get a sponsor. They tell me when I got here that I had to go to a halfway house. You people didn't tell me that, but I got extra help. I was really kind of a sick cookie. I went to treatment because I thought I was an Al-Anon person. Well, I have the disease of codependency, you're right. And at the end of that disease, I became the alcoholic. Well, when you can't beat them, you join them. And that's what I did. And when I went to treatment, they told me to go to the halfway house, so I packed luggage. It was matching. And I put my makeup on because I didn't want anyone to know. And I looked like I was going to boarding school. And I applied to the Gratitude House in West Palm Beach. And they refused to take me. Now, you see, I'm one of those alcoholics that really doesn't have a colorful past. I'm not, you know, I don't have any DUIs. I've never done time in prison, only in sobriety when I went to play baseball. I have like a year and a half of using and abusing because my hell was before that. And I have enough time in here to qualify to be here. So when I went to apply to this halfway house, I thought, what do you mean you can't take me? You know, I don't have a prison record. You know, what's wrong with me? They said I needed a more structured environment, that I needed something more structured than they could offer me, so they sent me to Stepping Stones in Fort Lauderdale. Have you ever been to Stepping Stones? I mean, like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago? Well, it's not the pretty sight that it is today, and it's not very pretty today. But it was my home, and they sent me from treatment where I had been for 6 weeks, very comfortable, and it was like a week before Christmas, and they said I had to go right away to Fort Lauderdale because otherwise they couldn't hold my bed for me. And I was really upset about this because, well, I didn't want to make any changes very fast, and they wanted me to go right away, and it was getting to be Christmas, and, well, obviously they didn't understand who I was. And I was scared, and they should just honor that and let me stay where I was. Well, they didn't, and they drove me down. They drove me to Fort Lauderdale and dropped me off on the front step with my suitcases. And when I got there, just a couple nights before that, my bed had burnt. Literally, I didn't have a bed to sleep in when I got there. I had to sleep on the couch. And when I was sleeping on the couch, I laid on the couch and I could hear the train go by. And I would plan how I could get onto this train and get out of this place. Because as I was sleeping and laying on the couch, and it would rain every once in a while, and when it did, the roof leaked and it would hit me like right here on the forehead. And I think this is what I left. This is what I left Tampa for. A more structured environment, a bed that I had to go and be at, and it was the best thing I ever did. It was the best thing I ever did. I didn't have structure in my life. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I knew how to take care of you. I do that very well. And God has given me the opportunity to take that character defect and turn it into an asset and be a very good nurse. But I didn't know how to take care of myself when I got here. And I have a hard time with it today. But they told me when to get up, and they told me when to go to bed, and they told me what meetings to go to, and they told me what steps to do, and I did it. I did it not because I thought I was an alcoholic, but I did it because I lived in a prison in my own head and I wanted to get out. And they said that this was one way to get out. But they said, while I was doing this, I couldn't drink. And I thought, well, and they said, do it for a year, and if at the end of the year you want to drink, go ahead. And I said, okay, I could do that. And in the meantime, I found out that I was an alcoholic and that this is where I needed to be, and that God that you said that little kids have, Armand, I had that God for many years. That's how I got through the hell that I got through for many years. God was my friend. God held my hand. And then I let go. I thought God went on vacation, but today I know I let go. And what happened during that year is I found God again, a glimpse, just a glimpse every once in a while, in the steps, in someone's eyes, in a hug, in a meeting, hearing someone speak. I remembered what, somewhere in the back of my mind, that there was a God out there. And maybe, just maybe, I could find it again. That peace within. I decided that it was time to do the steps. I did the steps, all 12 of them, and then I felt like shit. And I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. Well, at that time, I was a year and a half sober, and I needed to do a little bit time in the, I needed extra help. And I had a chemical imbalance for a while, and they fixed that, and I did the steps again, and I felt better. And I talked to my sponsor, and I continued to grow. I continued to be myself. I continued to do what I was told to do. But I argued a lot, and I asked a lot of questions. And I said, how come? My big thing was, why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to call you every day? How come I have to do step 3 right now? What do you mean I have to get on my knees? I remember the first time I ever took the first step. It was on the third step. It was on Fort Lauderdale Beach. I was in a halfway house. It was my sponsor. And we called them denial twins, but don't tell anybody. And it was her friend and the person she sponsored, who was also in the halfway house. And we took flashlights, the big book. We went down on the beach, stood there. Well, we knelt down because that's what the big book tells you to do. I didn't know what I was doing. And we read the third step prayer. I didn't know what I was doing. I just did it because I was told to do it. And many years later, overdoing it over and over again, I have found out that that's the only prayer I need to say today. I get up in the morning and I say a third step prayer. It's amazing to me how when I let God take care of things, I don't have to do it anymore. You see, when I first got here, I was a lot like Armand. I thought I was God, only I didn't use that term. I just had all the answers. And if you would only follow my directions, your life would be fine. But nobody would listen. Nobody would listen. And then my sponsor said, they've run out of applications for the God job because it's been filled. And I thought, all this time I didn't realize that I was playing God. I didn't realize that I was passing judgment. I didn't realize I was being self-righteous. I didn't realize I was trying to organize the world around me so that I would feel okay. You see, I'm very rigid. I have this thing about perfectionism. I've come to a new meaning of what perfect is, and I'll get to that in a minute. But when I'm scared and when I'm insecure, everything has to line up in a row because I have to be three steps ahead of you to make sure that I'm okay. And as long as I'm three steps ahead of you, I know where you're going, so I know where I can be to protect myself. I don't have to do that anymore. You see, because when things are bad, they're perfectly bad. And when things are good, they're perfectly good. I just didn't know perfect looked like this. You see, God is perfect. I am God. So I am perfect. You see, the big book tells me to seek the great spirit within, because that's where you shall find the answers. I always thought that I had to have this great big white light come down on me, like Bill Wilson did, and be moved and have the earth shake and the thunder roar and see God. Well, I do see God when I look out and I see everyone sitting here, even the ones walking out. Why do they walk out? What is going on out there? Will somebody check for me? It's so hard to follow someone that's so talented. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. It's good to be sober because I forget that that's the priority. I forget that that's why I'm here. I forget all too often. So God always gives me something in my life to slow me down enough so that I can remind myself, or you can remind me, or something can remind me who I am. Today, I am a grateful woman, lesbian, mother, co-parent, alcoholic, who loves being sober. Not all the time, though, because I'm human. And I have self-will just like everyone else. And when I get on that bandwagon, man, I'm gone. And it's your fault. And if you would only follow the script, everything would be okay. But damn it, I don't know what... It must be the mail system. Didn't you get it in the mail? That's why you're not laughing, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure of it. You didn't get in the mail, did you? I did. My copy came. And don't you hate that when a speech gets up there and all of a sudden it goes silent, you wonder? I'll tell you what. I'll let you experience what I experience when that happens. You're saying, what's she doing? I'm letting you experience the committees in your head. You know, the ones that say, oh God, how long is this going to go on? What step am I on? Gloom and doom. Oh, wasn't that a great workshop today? Those are the committees in my head. And I just introduced you to yours. And if I listen to them, I'm in deep shit. I listened to them for most of my life and got myself into a lot of trouble. What I found out is the only thing that I'm responsible for is providing refreshments. That's it. That's it. Because they're going to go on. Thanks for sharing. Keep coming back, and I let them go on. That's what alcoholism is. It talks to me. It tells me I'm not a good person. It tells me you're not a good person. It tells me that it's your fault that my life's shit when I think it's shit. And you know what I come to find out? That it's not. It's my perception. And when I change my perception or I take time out long enough to be quiet, it's a whole new outlook on things. People change their minds and change their attitudes and change the way they behave. It's amazing. When it's only my attitude that I need to take care of. But I would have never known that had I not worked the steps, called my sponsor, worked with others. You know, I have this new, I like to call them rosebuds, and, well, I'm this new sponsee that I'm working with, and the thing that we've been focusing on the most is the next best thing. How basic can you get? The next best thing. That's what got me through a lot of things. It's getting me through right now, the next best thing. Because when I'm so concerned with yesterday or tomorrow, I'm missing right now. When I'm so concerned with what's going on out there instead of what's going on in here, I'm missing the greatest moment of my life that can never be captured again. Once it's gone, it's gone. Once she's gone, she's gone. Once he's gone, he's gone. And I forgot to say I love you. And I forgot to say I love you. That's what's so important for me about basics. Basics are, I may be the only textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous that any one person in these rooms or out of these rooms that any one person will see. And for that, I am responsible. I'm not always going to have this book to carry around with me to prove that I'm a member of AA. AA is who I am. I have to work the steps, become the steps, live the steps, be the steps, and pass on the steps for the next generation. It's real important to understand that what we're dealing here with, what I'm dealing here with, is life and death. And I know you all understand how precious life is for all the death that we've been seeing. The moments that we have together are so short and so few that it's time to reach out and touch your neighbor. Can you reach out and touch your neighbor? Really? Touch your neighbor. That's a moment you can never capture again. That's a feeling you can never get back. That's as basic as it gets, wearing your skin while it's happening. You see, I always drove by those houses when I was out there, and I'd be in the car, and I'd be like, I don't want to be here. I want to be in that house over there. That house has nice windows. And I like the lights on in that house. Oh, I like that house over there. I wanted to be anywhere else but me. I wanted to be in anyone else's shoes but mine. You know, my sponsor told me when I first got sober that when I started buying shoes that fit my feet instead of three sizes too small, I was getting sober. I thought, well, that makes a lot of goddamn sense. Why wouldn't I buy shoes that fit? Do you know it took me 9 years? 9 years of sobriety before I bought a size 7. I've been trying to fit my feet into 6s for all my life. Can you imagine? I was a sick cookie. It's so important. Life is so precious. It's so short. It's now. It's now. I had a dear friend when this roundup began. I was one of the original committee members, and it was a real exciting time for me. I wasn't a very important committee member. I was just one of them. That's what this program has given me. I'm able to be just one of them instead of a part of, feeling apart from. I've been a team member. And God rest his soul, he's not with us today. And I remember I was pregnant with my son, and I used to go to gay meetings, and I was living in a, has anyone ever heard of Dr. Kennedy over there on the Presbyterian Church on Federal Highway? My sponsor at that time, Eve, called him the Nazi Christian. That's where I was living, in the house that they sponsored. And I would sneak out and go to gay AA meetings. And it was wonderful because I would go to meetings and Jim and Jonathan would come over and sit next to me and rub my tummy. And now my son is their namesake. And that's real important for me because they were real important for my sobriety. Jim was there and helping me come out when I got sober. And Jim was a lot of firsts for me. But the one thing he taught me was not to miss the now, not to miss the moment. He taught me to stand up and say, I count. He taught me to say that it's okay. I don't have to explain to you who I am and where I'm going. It's okay for me to be who I am in my skin right now. And I didn't know that. I didn't have that. I didn't know that that was my right as a human being. I didn't know that that was just my right for breathing. I didn't know I had a right to breathe. I didn't know a lot of things when I got here. I thought I knew everything. And the longer I'm around here, the more I find out, the less I know. That's why I come to roundups. That's why I sit and I listen. That's why I'm grateful that you're here. You're here for me. I need you. I need every one of you for as long as you can be here. Every day, every hour. You know, I was at the 6 o'clock meeting this morning, and I heard the most wonderful thing from the person I least likely expected it from. And it showed me that I could hear exactly what I need, exactly when I need to hear it, if I only was patient enough to listen. I'm not always patient enough to listen. And I think that's why I have this wonderful brace on my leg. God slowed me down about, 3 months ago. It was the 31st of December when I was trying to push my car out of a ditch to get to work so I could be the hero, you know, everyone. It was a bad weather. And we had just had a nice storm. And I was really working on my work relations. And that's another thing God's given me, this program's given me. I bring new life into the world. I'm a labor and delivery nurse. Me, yes, a lesbian. I stand there and catch those babies. And I'm the first one to touch them before they're even dry off. And I get to love them. And I get to hold them. And you know what? No other human being gets to do that but me. And they'll always know the feel of love. No strings attached. Just me and them. They may never know my name. They won't have to. But they will know love. And that's how I heal the child within me. So I'm trying to get to work. And I got the kids in the back seat. I'm driving up the hill. Now I'm almost at the top of the hill. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's in Vermont, so it's dark. Driving up the hill, and the wheels are spinning and spinning, and there's like a cliff on one side and a ditch on the other. And it's like wide enough for a car and a half, not two. And all of a sudden, we're like, I'm pressing the gas down as far as it'll go, but the car's like rolling backwards. And everything's fine until the kids start screaming. And then we start going toward the cliff, and I think, maybe I better put on the brakes, which was not a good idea. And we went into the ditch, and so trying to get the car out, I tore my ACL, which is all the things that hold your knee together, and work's still waiting for me to get there. That's only 3 months now. But in the meantime, what I found out is that I slowed down. You know, I spent a lot of time in bed. That's because I couldn't get out. I couldn't walk. And I started praying. And I started writing. And I started reading. And I started realizing how much I had. And so, my gift to you, if I could give you one, not that I can, but I hope that you'll listen, is to take time to take a deep breath. A nice... one that you can hear. Those are the only ones that count. A nice... you gonna make me do this all by myself? Come on, a big deep breath. It gets oxygen to the brain. When you get oxygen to the brain, you get more blood to the brain. And when you get more blood to the brain, you calm down. And when you calm down, you can listen. And when you can listen, you can hear God. And that's what I'm here for, to listen to the God within you. And hopefully you can hear the God within me. And together, we make up the universe. Thank you very much for asking me from the committee. Thank you very much for giving me the time to share my experience, strength, and hope. I wasn't as funny, but it's my life, and you gave it back to me. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you for my sobriety.